war and famine, disease and death, remorse. None of these are pleasant to behold at all. However, they are all found in the picture story that I wish to bring to your attention today in these few moments with the book. The story I refer to is found in the second book of Kings in the Old Testament of the Bible. God has always told it as it is. And the Old Testament histories are written, inspired by Himself, to still tell it like it is. In the New Testament, we read that whatsoever things were written aforetime, that is, in Old Testament days, were written for our learning. The Old Testament accounts are true, dear listening friend. They are historical accounts, but they are not simply that. They are written to portray spiritual truths in picture form, and such is true of this story that I refer to in 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7. The story is a picture of spiritual war, famine, disease, and death, that which exists in this world of sin. This world of sin with all the misery and wretchedness that has been caused by it. And also, in this picture, we see the unchecked power of the captor, Satan himself, and what he can do to those who are in his power. But also the picture that we wish to consider portrays the miraculous deliverance through divine intervention. And this is heralded as good tidings, which meant the deliverance to the city of Samaria and its inhabitants. But to complete the picture, we see also that which tells of certain judgment to those who are self-sufficient and unbelieving. And dear friends, all that is seen in this picture portrayed in this portion of God's holy word unmistakably declares His goodness on the one hand to those who believe and His certain judgment to those who will not believe God. Remember now, God tells it like it was, He tells it like it is, and He tells it like it will be. Now here is the story. The story that's told like it is in 2 Kings chapter 6. Samaria and the king of Israel were besieged by Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And the resulting famine brought about by this siege was so great that we read that an ass's head, now there's not much food on that, but an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and about 3/4 of a pint of dove's dung was sold as food, think of it, for 5 pieces of silver. Talk about inflation. You certainly have it there. Now disease and death also as a result settled down on the city. And we read of the dreadful, wretched condition that parents were boiling and eating their own children. Think of it. Now the godless king of Israel saw this condition, and he rent his clothes, and he resorted to a mere formal religion in sitting in sackcloth. We see his lack of genuine concern and his unbelief in the fact that he began to blame the prophet of God, Elisha. He blamed God for the trouble. Isn't that just like people today? Things go wrong and they start to blame God. He blamed God. He blamed the prophet of God instead of seeing that it was his own sin and the wickedness of the people that had caused this dreadful condition. But now, in spite of this, and in fact, in the face of it, and also because of it, we see the goodness of God coming out in a message which he gives through Elisha. Elisha is the prophet of the Old Testament that speaks of the Savior, God the Savior. And dear friends, this is in essence what the gospel is. It's a message of God telling men who do not deserve it that there is from him deliverance, there is provision. In the seventh chapter, in the first verse, we hear, within the scope of less than 40 words, a message coming from God through the prophet that tells of a promise of blessing and deliverance for the people of Samaria. I shall read it. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. That's all that the message contained, but it was enough. It told of God's provision, his coming deliverance for the people of Samaria. How good it is to know that the God that you and I have to do with is a God of grace. And the God of grace provides what men do not deserve. Dear friends, the gospel is truly a message of grace, a message of salvation. Alas, however, the response to this message is right away given by one particular person to whom our attention is drawn. He's the king's right-hand man, shall we say, a nobleman upon whom the king leaned. And when he heard Elisha give that message, here's what he said. Quote, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this be? Unquote. Now here was plain, simple, unbelief in God's promise. Immediately, Elisha replied to him, and I quote, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat of it. And here was God's pronounced judgment, a promise of judgment upon the unbeliever. This is most solemn. It is something, dear friend, that we give heed to. I repeat that God speaks in the gospel, and he wishes your blessing, which he will bestow if you will believe. But if you do not believe, you shall receive, as this man did, as we shall notice, God willing, the judgment which he deserved. Now, the means of providing this, which the prophet pronounced, is given to us in the next verses, from verse 3 on. And here we have 4 leprous men sitting at the entrance to the gate of this, at the gate of the city of Samaria. And they're in quite a predicament. They're doomed to die, and they knew it. They say and reason within themselves, if we go into the city of Samaria, there's nothing to eat there, we'll just perish with hunger. And if we sit here, we're going to just fade away and die. So let's go into the camp of the Syrians. Let's take a chance. And this is what they did. They said, if they save us alive, why, we'll live then. And if they kill us, we'll but die. Oh, when we think of the hopelessness and the helplessness of men everywhere, such as depicted here in these 4 leprous men, I believe the 4 suggest the universal condition of men. Leprosy is a picture of sin, dear friends, which has afflicted the whole human race. And how helpless. And the wages of sin is death. But thank God, you and I do not have to depend upon chance, as we're going to see. And these 4 leprous men did not have to depend upon chance either. How many people there are today who, however, reason this way and say, well, if I'm to be saved, I will be saved. And I'll just take my chance with the rest of everybody. Friend, it is not a matter of chance, thank God. God has provided already, as these men are going to find out. God has provided for you already, as I trust you will find out. And it's not a matter of chance at all as to the salvation of your soul. It's a matter of your choice, based upon what God has done. Well, they arise and go into the camp of the Syrians, and what do they find? They find that there was absolutely no Syrian there in the camp. There was no man there. The enemy had fled. They could not understand it. Nor can you and I understand what God has done. But I believe it, and I trust you will. What had happened? Verse 6 tells us that the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites, the king of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Therefore they arose, and they fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. God had intervened. Dear friend, God has intervened on behalf of your need and the need of the whole world. The Lord Himself has come to do what nothing else could accomplish, to do what no one else could do. This brings us to think of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose for which the Savior came into the world was to give Himself on the cross a sacrifice for sin, that He might put away sin, that which has caused the wretchedness and the ruin, the war, the famine, the disease, the death, that He might also destroy and annul the power of Satan himself, that He might also deliver from death by His death, dealing a death blow to that which sin had caused. Beloved friend, I point you to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who hung on that cross voluntarily, willingly, lovingly went into death, and He has defeated the foe. The Syrians have been driven away. The captor, Satan, has been defeated. Sin has been dealt a death blow. He's put it away. He's canceled it with His blood which He shed. And through His death and resurrection, He now has life for your death. He has cleansing for your sin. He has joy for your misery. He has deliverance for your captivity. This is the picture of the reality, dear friend, of what you have in Christ and His accomplished work. He Himself alone. Alone He bore the cross. We read, the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise. The Lord intervened. And Christ has come into the world to save sinners. Alone He bore the cross. Alone its grief sustained. It was alone the Savior prayed and died for you on that cross. And the victory is complete. It is finished. And He offers it to you now. And the fruits and the spoils of that victory are yours for the receiving. We notice this in the picture. When the lepers came into the camp, they went from one tent to another, and they ate and they drank. And then not only were they filled with the needs which hunger and thirst had given, but also they were clothed with raiment. Furthermore, they were enriched with silver and gold. They just rejoiced in all that they came into. Friend, this is but a picture of what happens when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find Him as your deliverer. You have Him as the bread of life, and you'll never hunger. You have Him as the water of life, and you'll never thirst. Here we see them taking advantage simply of what has been provided. Have you ever taken advantage by faith of what God has provided? It's by faith that you receive what Jesus has accomplished. By faith, you enter into the good of His victory. And you're clothed with a raiment that fits you for the presence of God when you believe on Jesus. You're enriched with the wealth that is eternal, the silver and the gold that nothing can tarnish, that which is a picture of the treasures laid up, the inheritance which Christ has acquired through His death at Calvary. Dear friends, is this yours? It may be. God wants you to share in what Christ has received through His conflict at Calvary. Well, these four leprous men are enjoying it to the full when all of a sudden they say one to another, "Why, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we are holding our peace. Now, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household." How wonderful to see here what is a picture of the reality of a work of God in the souls of men. They wish to share now what they have come into with others. It was a day of good tidings. Victory had come to Samaria. through the intervention of the Lord. They had come into the good of it. They are no longer starving. They are clothed. They are enriched. We do not well to hold this back. Let's go and tell the king's household. Dear friends, those that know the Lord as a Savior have been given a message to tell. And being constrained by the love of Christ, they want others to know about it. We want you to know about this. We want you to know that the Savior, who died at Calvary and rose again, is ready to deliver you from all the misery, the wretchedness, and the captivity that sin and Satan has imposed upon you. They came to the city, and of course they weren't believed at first. The king was hesitant to receive this, and he was rather wary. He couldn't think that this could be so, you know, it's too good to be true. It's much the way that many dear people regard the ministry of the gospel. They say, well, that's too good to be true. You know, it's too easy to believe. You mean to say that's all that you have to do? Just to repent and trust Christ and then you're saved? Yes, that's all. Oh, that's too good to be true. But friend, it is not too good to be true. It is true. It is good. It is God's good news. It's the tidings. I'll tell you, dear friends, the good tidings is what God has sent at the expense. It's not a cheap gospel. Can you think of anything more expensive than that the Son of God himself had to give his life and shed his precious blood to defeat the foe, to enrich you with what you need, to save you from your wretchedness, your guilt? Oh, dear friend, God in his goodness holds it out to you, free, without money, and without price. But don't ever think that it's a cheap salvation. Oh, it's the riches of the glory of his grace that enriches us with the salvation which we need. Well, now here we have, then, finally, the king going and allowing that two of the horses that are left in the city should go and find out whether this is true or not. And they go and find that it is just exactly like the four leprous men told them. And they are very busily occupied in gathering in all the spoil of the camp. They reap the spoils of the victory that the Lord has acquired. Now what happens? We read, so then, a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel. Ah, the fulfillment of the promise of Elisha in the first verse of our chapter is fulfilled. And two measures of barley for a shekel are sold, according to the word of the Lord. Dear friend, you can never expect anything else but that God, who tells it as it is, who tells it as it will be, will bring it to pass. And we read then that the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And we notice here what happened to him. The people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Who died? Well, the man that scoffed at the promise, who said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Think of it. This same man who spoke this was appointed by the king to stand in the gate, and he was trodden upon by the people, and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that lord, that right-hand man of the king, answered the man of God and said, now, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? Oh, dear friend, think of that scoffing, of that unbelief, that intelligence of men that judge things by appearance, that are wiser in their thoughts than God himself. Oh, beware. Beware, dear friend, and this comes as a warning. Behold, the man of God had said, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. That was the pronouncement of Elisha upon this man who scoffed in unbelief. Think of it. And it came to pass that so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. May God give us to see this picture. Dear friend, will you not believe God who tells it as it is? Accept of his mercy, and live. Oh, do not despise what he has said. Believe God. Believe the message of salvation, and thou shalt be saved and spared from eternal judgment. May God bless his word. Loving God our Father, bless the word, the picture story that thou hast given in the Old Testament to the provision of thy grace. May the word of warning to those that believe thee not be heard and heeded today, and that souls will believe thy word, believe thy Son, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.